You did, okay. It was a good question. It's a nice little yummy one yesterday, right? Interesting. Okay. So on that note, talk about a few psychologically inclined Rashis in this week's parsha. Some of them psychological, some of them otherwise. So Moshe experiences some fatigue. V'idei Moshe k'vidim. V'yichu evan v'yasimu tachta v'yishu v'alev v'yaron v'chor tamchu v'yadav mizeh mizeh achad v'hi yadav v'mirah v'ashemesh. Moshe Rabbeinu's hands are very weak, and you can imagine holding your hands up for hours on end, your hands are going to become very heavy. Try it over Shabbos, before Shabbos, hold your hands up and see how long you can keep them in the air. Practice your yoga. Sometimes in the army, if they want to punish you, they have forced you to hold your hands in the air for extended periods of time. So how long can Moshe Rabbeinu hold his hands up? Of course, v'idei Moshe k'vidim. Rashi comments, though, that it wasn't just the physical heaviness, the physical toil, or toll. Rashi says that there were two psychological factors that combined to make it more difficult for Moshe to keep his hands raised. And Rashi says as follows. I'll read it slowly, because you have to dissect Rashi and compartmentalize it into two different elements. Number one, Bishvil shen is atzel b'mitzvah. Because Moshe was a little bit lazy in this mitzvah, again, when I say a little bit, I mean Moshe Rabbeinu levels. So when I say lazy, I don't mean our laziness. I mean in Moshe's scheme of things. The madrega that Moshe reached, Chachamim, of course, the higher you rise, and the search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for moral development is infinite, so the more severe you're, not judged, but the more severe, even minor variations. If I want to throw a ball at the Aron HaKodesh, which is about, I don't know, 50 feet in front of us, even if I'm off by a little bit, I can still hit the Aron HaKodesh. If my arm isn't straight or I flick my wrist a little bit off, if I want to throw a ball at the moon, and if I'm off a little bit, then the ball will careen into outer space. So when you're shooting for the moon, even slight variations make a difference. If you're shooting for moderate achievements in life, so if you're a little bit off, it's not a big deal. But when you're a tzaddik and you've really reached higher levels of moral development, you're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're trying to reach that higher infinite being, so even slight variations can be very, very altering and course-altering. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a little bit lazy because he doesn't lead the war himself, presumably, Rashi is saying, because he appoints Yoshua. And that slight Moshe-level laziness is contagious and leads to his hands being too heavy to hold up. So Rashi says, Bishvil shenisatzel b'mitzvah, because he was a little bit Moshe Rabbeinu standard lazy, nisyakru yadav, his hands became heavy, kevedim. And it reminds us that laziness is contagious, as is hard work and industriousness. Sometimes if you find yourself in a rut and you're unable to bring the type of energy level you'd like and the work ethic and the commitment that you'd like to see, sometimes if you find the ability to expend energy and work in one area, it can spill over into other areas. Sometimes you hit a brick wall in a certain area, find some other area to work hard at. Go clean your room, go do a chesed, go try to break the rut. Laziness is a rut. And if you find ways to break it in life and you train yourself about how to break it, exercise. But sometimes if you find that one area to expend energy and work hard, that can spill over into other areas and help you climb out of the rut of laziness. And in Moshe Rabbeinu, there's an infection, or it's a contagion. Since he's lazy and appointing Yoshua, it's harder for him to muster the energy to hold his hands upright. But there's a second issue that Rashi raises, both in what he says and in the language. And now I'll read the whole Rashi. Bishvil shenis atzel b'mitzvah, he's lazy, he appoints Yoshua, again, Moshe's level of laziness. Umana acher tachtav, and he appoints someone else in his stead, nisyakru yadav. Nisyakru doesn't, Rashi changes the language of the pasuk. What is the pasuk's language? V'idei Moshe k'vidim. What does Rashi say? Nisyakru yadav. Yakar means precious, important, significant. Moshe Rabbeinu has to appoint Yoshua. There has to be a division of labor. Moshe stands on top of the mountain, Yoshua battles in the valley below. There's no way around it. But in that moment, there's a bit of a hierarchy. And in that hierarchy, there is, again, a Moshe level of cockiness and of self-centeredness and of self-respect that may be a little bit exorbitant. Again, this is not a crime. This is built in. Because you are the general, and you are distancing yourself from war, and your lieutenant's entering the war. In the Israeli army, there's an ethos that the katzin, the officer, has to go first. And there's no choice. Moshe can't follow that playbook because he has to daven, because this is a spiritual war, as every war is in Sinai with Amalek. But any time you're delegating a service, and you are at the higher end of a hierarchy, which sometimes you have to be, all of a sudden there's a trace of egocentrism, condescension, looking at yourself as more important than the other being. And you have to try to break that. But what it can lead to is laziness. Because you already are letting people serve you. And when you let people serve you and let people do your dirty work, then all of a sudden you become more self-important. And when you're self-important and less humble, it's harder for you to actually work. Nisyakru yadav. His hands become yakar. His hands become more important. Well, these are the hands of the leader. These hands shouldn't be bloodied in war. And once your hands become more important, then a side effect is laziness. And that's what Rashi is highlighting. It's a very subtle psychological point that if you feel too highly about yourself, then you have to be more lazy and less prone to actually work hard and fulfill tasks, especially when they're menial tasks. And of course, the hidden message of Rashi is one of the ways to prevent egotism and cockiness is just to work hard and do all sorts of tasks, because it works both ways. If you're cocky, then it's hard to do tasks. But if you do tasks, you'll probably be less cocky and less egocentric. So that means for your whole life, don't be afraid of acting in ways that may be out of your station. Oh, I am the fill in the blank. I'm the Rebbe. I'm the father. I'm the chief. I'm the corporate executive. I can't take out the garbage. I can't sharpen pencils. I can't fill up the coffee bin. I can't. Because then you're just trapping yourself a little bit more deeply in the rut of laziness / self-importance or inflated self-importance. And one of the hedges against that is to actually do work and not to fall into the trap of nisyakru yadav. It's a very, very psychologically subtle and deep Rashi. Number one, it was a laziness that wasn't his fault, but that could have crept in when you appoint people to fulfill tasks for you, and that laziness spills over to deeper laziness. Number two, whenever you're the general, metaphorically, and your lieutenants are in the field performing tasks, there's a certain sense of self-worth and self-centeredness that has to be battled, and it can lead to laziness. And one of the ways to battle it is to not deal with the symptom and work back to the root. Symptoms and roots are always related. You always want to understand the root, but sometimes if you deal with the symptom, it could wean its way back to the roots. If you're working hard, performing menial tasks, you're less prone to egocentrism and inflated ego. That's one interesting Rashi. Another interesting Rashi, when Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe to hit the rock. So he instructs him to lift the mata, the staff. But he qualifies the staff. Hamata asher hikisa bo sayor. How many staffs did Moshe have? Take your five iron instead of your, I'm not a big golfer, but your pile driver instead of your five iron. Moshe had a whole bag of staffs. He had his caddy. Yoshua was carrying his bag of golf clubs. And what should I use now? Oh, the one that you struck the or with. Okay, there may have been one or two. It sounds like Aaron may have had a staff, and we see that staff in Parshas Chukos, but this is not Moshe had one staff. It's like Hashem has to identify that one as opposed to that one. That hockey stick. You see, it's to make you feel at home. Remember, that hockey stick versus the other hockey stick, the curved one. So Rashi, of course, explains, Ma Talmud Lamra Sheher Kisa Bo Sayor. It wasn't a question of helping Moshe identify which staff. It was a question of framing the Mata for Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is witnessing this entire episode of Yitzias Mitzrayim, climax with Kriyas Yam Suf, and then all the aftermaths in Parshas B'Shalach, finding food and water. They're also being introduced to Hashem. Who is Hashem? The world is being introduced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is this HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What is his face? Not his physical face, but what is he like? What are his traits? So the last couple of Parshas have been Theology 101, Monotheism 101. Who is Hashem? Moshe is worried about this. How will I introduce you to them? These are people that have spent 210 years in slavery. They don't have the time to think about fancy schmancy ideas of monotheism and religion. How will I introduce them? Ekesh or Ekesh. Just tell them. What have you seen as a Jew, as a student of Hashem over the last couple parshios? Hail, darkness, affliction, death, suffering, shchin, venereal diseases, death, carnage, pandemics. Essentially, you can convince yourself that Hashem is really the angry God of the ancients. He's just an angry God who likes to punish people and takes particular delight in manipulating them in some very, very sadistic forms of punishment. He didn't just punish them. He created an 11-step process. He talks about the 12-step process of recovery. There's an 11-step process of punishing them. So you can pretty much see God the way Islamic fundamentalists view Hashem, as angry and vengeful and happy when innocent people suffer, because that's all you've seen. Now Hashem is introducing a whole new chapter to to Theology 101. You know, when wicked people abuse other human beings or disobey me, they may have to suffer as retribution. If they don't, if they, after given ample opportunity, they don't reform and rehabilitate, they may have to suffer. That's not really what I am. I also like feeding people. I also like giving them water in the middle of a desert. I also like protecting them. I also like delivering Shabbos for rest and recuperation. I also like delivering the Torah to provide a stabilizing force in life. So I want you to take the same staff that hit the R, that created blood, and that deprived people of water. Just take that same staff and now provide life and water and Shabbos and Mem, and ultimately take it up to Har Sinai. Just to balance out the equation, so people don't look at me as an angry, demonic, dastardly, calculating. I'm really Melech HaRachamim. Hashem is Melech HaRachamim. But there's also Midas Adin, and wicked has to be eliminated from this world. So Rashi says, Shehari Yisrael Omrim Al HaMata. They were discussing the Mata. They weren't discussing the Mata. They were discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but they were commenting about the Mata. She'ein Amuchan El Leparonis. The Mata is just a source of punishment and penalties. Bolaka Paro Mitzrayim Kama Makos B'Mitzrayim V'Alayam. The Mata was the cause of such suffering in Mitzrayim. They're not mocking the Mata. Okay, everyone knows it's just an inanimate staff. It's the Kodesh Baruch Hu, the force behind the Mata. Yikach Ne'emar, Asher Kisabo Sayor. Yiru Ata, Hashem says, I want them to see now, Sha'af L'tova Humuchan, that the Mata can also be provisional, not just punitive. Very, very deep rush. The Har V'yor Kodesh Baruch Hu. Especially for people who are building the view of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Finally, one final and related Rashi. Kol HaMachle Asher Samti B'Mitzrayim Lo Asim Olecha Ki Ani Hashem Rofecha. Very famous Rashi. Some Rishonim felt you're not allowed to see a doctor. Famous machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. Apologies to our prestigious false witch doctors in the room. According to the Rambam, you should see a doctor. The Rambam was a doctor. According to the Ramban, very famous Ramban. What role can a doctor play in the Beis Hashem? Ideally, if a person lives at a spiritual madrega, then he should just go to a Navi and improve his avodas Hashem. And of course, we believe that, but we're not at that madrega, so therefore we have to take practical measures into our hands. So, ani Hashem rofecha. But according to Rashi, there is a larger, more metaphoric statement, not about when you're sick and when you're ill, whether you should see a doctor, or can someone like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the big doctor, in Shemayim. But it's a question of how we view religion in general. Kini Hashem Rofecha. Rashi says, Melamedcha Torah Mitzvahs. I'm teaching you Torah Mitzvahs. Amanti Natzel Mehem Kirofei. So that through Torah Mitzvahs, you can live a life that's balanced. Like a person tells someone, Al Tochal Devarim Shemachzir Natchal Yedei Choli. Like I'm telling you, don't eat preventative. Don't eat these foods because that will create your illness. Not a healing illness, but a balanced lifestyle to live a medically stable and a medically healthy experience. Very interesting phrase in Rashi. Vizehu, listen to how Rashi describes the Torah as seen through this phrase. Izun ha-mitzvos. Izun ha-mitzvos. Izun in modern Hebrew means balance. Izun ha-mitzvos, the balance, the health of mitzvos. V'cheinu omer, quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, rifos tehi l'sarecha. That Torah will be a rifos, a form. So it's not just when you get sick, should you consult HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how do you view a Torah lifestyle? Forget when you're sick. Just today, Baruch Hashem, none of you seem too ill today. You woke up, Baruch Hashem, you're happy, you're healthy. Are the Torah mitzvahs that you'll perform today just some arbitrary command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you have to obey? Or do we really believe that if we follow each mitzvah and avoid each avera, that is a recipe for a healthier lifestyle, both in body and in spirit? Some ways we understand, most ways we don't understand. Why is crabfish unhealthy? I don't know. Why is squid unhealthy? Why is basa b'chalav unhealthy? Why is bris milah healthier? You can find research on both sides. People with circumcision have an easier. Sometimes we aren't able to, and of course not just physically, but emotionally, existentially, socially, family, sexually, psychologically, to view Torah as an elixir for life. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided Torah that we should be healthier. In some ways we're able to trace, in some ways we're not able to trace it. Ani Hashem Rofecha, Rashi says, doesn't just mean if you're sick. The famous Rambam Ramban question, should you consult the doctor or should you consult HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's a question of your attitude towards Torah mitzvos. And that attitude towards Torah mitzvos carries a very important implicit message. If Torah is healthy for your body, then your body is important. And that Avodas Hashem is a combination of your body and your neshama. not this schizophrenic or bifurcated sense where my body is just some housing for my neshama, and I don't have to worry about my neshama and tend to my body, or anything that has to do with the body can't be holy because it's just my body, and I only want to take experiences that stimulate or are a product of my neshama. Rish Barak was saying, your body will be healed by Torah, and your body's important. It's part of the Avodah Hashem complex. And it should be wedded to two. When you're involved in bodily functions, eating, drinking, sexual activity, attending to your body's needs, you're also involved in Avodah Hashem. It's not ritualistic necessarily, but it's still part of your Avodah Hashem. So Nei Hashem Rofecha conveys those two messages. So three very intriguing Rashis. Number one about laziness and haughtiness and the relationship between the two. And of course, the contagious nature of laziness and the contagious nature of working hard. Number two, the staff is iconic for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the staff can't just be seen as a punitive source of punishment and suffering, but as a provisional source of life and prosperity. Number three, Nei Hashem Rofecha, beyond the Machlokas Rambam and Ramban, is to view Torah and Mitzvahs as this evidently, the Vilna Gaon who slept 2 hours a night and ate water bread his whole life, like a Steinman, that type of story. Evidently, again, this was 18th century medicine, so don't trust it too much, but evidently the doctors, when they performed an autopsy, which they didn't, but somehow they were able to detect, the story goes, that when they looked at the Vilna Gaon after he died, they said this man physically could have lived 120 more years, or till 120, like he wasn't, it's not like his body failed him. Okay, it's hard to know what to make of that story. But certainly, and so he wasn't involved, he wasn't at the gym, he wasn't taking vitamins, he didn't have surgeries, he didn't have any medical attention, he ate water and bread and slept 2 hours, but evidently the Torah that he learned was at such a deep existential level that it sustained his physical body. Okay, we're not Vilna Gaon League, and we have to attend to our body in the classic medically accepted fashion, but we certainly want to see Torah Mitzvahs as contributing to our overall physical health, and of course, as we talked about yesterday, our psychological well-being. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Enjoy your free Shabbos. Everyone's back here at 7 o'clock. Enjoy your Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom. Enjoy your Shabbos.